Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it is not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday, where we follow up on things that came up on the show during the week. And as I said before the break, we will take phone calls for the next few minutes now, specifically from black women, for your take on all this race and gender tension between the campaigns. Tell us how it has affected you. Do you find yourself torn between Clinton and Obama for reasons of race and gender? Is this a conversation that you're having with your friends or your relatives? Or is it more subtle than that? Obviously, nobody votes just based on race or gender. But tell us how they are playing into your voting decision for when the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut primaries come around on February 5th. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. There's even been back and forth on which would represent the more historic change. Right? Gloria Steinem had an op-ed piece where she said it would even be more historic for a woman to be elected president than an African-American. Did that make you proud, angry, anything? Have you been offended or motivated in any way by the nature of the candidates back and forth on all of this? Is there a kind of race or gender conversation that would be much better than the one the campaigns are actually having that you would like to hear them have? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Amy in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
Okay, well, here's the argument in my house. My partner and I were both African-American. She's a graduate of Wellesley. So she's a big kind of Hillary fan, and she thinks that Hillary coming into the office would be a great thing for America as well as the rest of the world. And I don't think so, because the white woman thing never trickles down. We saw that with the women's movement. Didn't help black women at all. We were still caught up in our own struggle. And basically, for me, you know, we have a daily argument about Obama and his strengths. There's no mistake that the man is half Muslim. There's no mistake or that he's, you know, was brought up in a Muslim household, at least has some kind of affinity for that.
Well, wait. Because there's so much confusion and other people mischaracterizing this to use it against him. His father, as I understand it, was Muslim, but he was not ever raised Muslim, right? So when you say he's half Muslim, it creates a misimpression.
But when I say half Muslim, he's at least had some exposure that hasn't been anti.
Uh-huh.
And that's important. That's important right now. He's a calming factor. He's really the only one that's going to be able to save us from being blown up in the future. Hillary is not.
So whatever identity issues there are in this race, he's just got more of them that are more important to the country and the world, in your opinion.
Absolutely. Hillary is an antagonist. She's always been that way. She's brilliant. I love her. I am not voting for her.
Amy,
she's not going to save us.
Thank you very much. Leslie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you. What do you got?
I am a Hillary supporter, but I've got to say that because the media blows up the dynamics between them so much, it's just like you can't help but think about it, right? But I think all in all, I'm still going to vote for Hillary. Only because of her experience. And I think it is more of a monumental thing that a female becomes president, I have to say. I think it's time for one.
So it's you haven't made up your mind yet, sounds like.
I think I'm going to vote for her because I really strongly, I am an OBGYN. I'm just a feminist in my own right, I have to say. I think it's just, I agree with Gloria Steinem that it's more of a historical change. Female becomes president. Mm-hmm. I think it's time.
Thanks for calling. Serena in Clinton Hill. You're on WNYC. Hi, Serena.
Hi there. I'm a family practitioner, and I'm also a pragmatist. I'd like to know, I'm a black female, what are you going to do? What has your record been for doing something for black females in terms of child care, in terms of expanding the Family Medical Leave Act, in terms of ending the war and bringing more resources home, because black women are still economically on the bottom rung of the ladder. So what are you going to do for us? I don't know. Maybe I haven't read closely enough, but I'm not sure of what Obama has done or Clinton has done for us at this point.
And, you know, John Edwards sat in this studio and argued straight up, I would be the better president for women than Hillary Clinton would because my policies, he says, better address things like child care, family leave, poverty, things like that. And so it's an example, I think, that you raise here of how the conversation has gotten so off track to be just about identity and who's mm-hmm. going to be the better first, rather than all these things that maybe disproportionately affect African-Americans and women.
And Edwards is right. I'm going to look into his record, too, because, like I said, I'm very practical now. It's nice to talk about the grand sweep of history, but usually it's the lowest on the rung that gets swept under the rug during that grand sweep. So, you know, I'm still undecided, but I'm not going to just give anyone mm-hmm. the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Call us as you make up your mind, okay? I'd love to hear mm-hmm. from you toward February 5th.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayat, do I have your name right? In Manhattan, you're on WNYC?
Yes. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I'm not expecting to hear any viable conversation about race from virtually any of the candidates.
This is low expectations based on the history of political discourse?
Yes, absolutely. And now some exception might be Kucinich and Edwards. And I don't know whether you discussed this recent piece where Obama made this statement, this rather glowing statement about Ronald Reagan. So that says to me that his advisors need to, there needs to be some heads up there, because in terms of Reagan squeezing out a lot of the white middle class, and you know what happened to the unions, after he left office and all. And I want to tie this also to our general. I was almost chilled by hearing the professor earlier in the discussion around the DNA, Bloomberg taking the DNA samples.
Uh-huh.
Brian,
right.
I was chilled because there seemed to be no factoring in the, I think it was 500,000 mostly black and Latino who were stopped and frisked, the drug war, which, you know, the statistics are reversed. And who
right, it would wind up being a black and Latino male DNA database at the NYPD.
Absolutely, and I didn't hear that. You know, so to me, Kucinich being pushed out in terms of his, he probably would be one that would really deal with some race issues.
Here's the Reagan quote for people who don't know. This is what Obama said about Reagan that's sparking discussion. This is following an interview with the Reno Gazette Journal this week. He said, as quoted in the Washington Post, "I don't want to present myself as some sort of singular figure. I think part of what's different are the times. I think Ronald Reagan changed the trajectory of America in a way that Richard Nixon did not, and in a way that Bill Clinton did not. He put us on a fundamentally different path because the country was ready for it. I think they felt like with all the excesses of the 1960s and 70s, and government had grown and grown, but there wasn't much sense of accountability in terms of how it was operating. I think people, he just tapped into what people were already feeling, which was we want clarity, we want optimism, we want to return to that sense of dynamism and entrepreneurship that had been missing."
I think that was very bad advice, and, you know, he's of a certain age, which he might not have a fuller view, but I think that's going to turn a lot of black people off once they get wind of that.
And then I guess it becomes a matter of interpretation where, I haven't read the back and forth on this, but just reading the quote, it sounds like a defender of Obama could say, look, he was talking about how much Reagan tapped into a desire for change among certain people at that time. So he was, whether you like his policies or not, very much a change agent for his moment. And that he, Obama, is saying he's a change agent for this moment, not that he would do what Reagan did or thought Reagan was good or bad.
That's a little bit too slick for me. And as for Hillary, I think this idea, and Patricia, in fact, I'd like you to have her on the program, Patricia Harris Lacewell. She's for Obama.
She was on last week. Yeah, we had her last week.
Oh, I missed it. But the point I'm trying to make around Hillary, and she makes the point so excellently, when, you know, you get into the dynasty, whether it's through Bush parental or through Hillary spousal, that's something that if it's not in the Constitution, we the people should say no dynasties in this country. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your program.
And I appreciate your call. Akila in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello there.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you. What are you thinking?
I think that I'm leaning toward Edwards because Hillary voted for the war, and that knocked her out the box for me. And Obama has is in a position where he's got to talk to somebody other than people who have the kind of interests I have. I don't hear him talking about education in any forceful way, the prison industrial complex, what we're going to do about child care. I don't hear him.
So it's all too general for Obama, by Obama for you, hope and this and that, and unity. You want to hear these specific.
Right.
You want to hear him vetted on the issues.
Yeah, and it's weird because I recognize that Edwards has the luxury of not having to appeal, you know, having to go out of his way to appeal to middle America. Because of who he is.
Right. And we will, by the way, next week, Monday, take a very close look at Obama's actual record in the Senate and the Illinois House. Then Tuesday, we'll take a close look at Clinton's record in the Senate as a U.S. senator. And Wednesday, we'll take a close look at John Edwards' record in the U.S. Senate. And we'll also do Kucinich as a congressman later in the week. So we're going to spend much of next week on the actual records in elected office of the four Democrats who are still in the race. Many of you may look forward to that. All right, let's sneak in two more real quick. Since she was an Edwards supporter, we'll get one quick Obama supporter, one quick Hillary supporter. LaShawn and Bed-Stuy are on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian.
We got about 30 seconds for you.
I would like to see, I'm strictly going by a generational thing. I'm kind of tired of baby boomers running things.
So I asked, is it race or is it gender? And you're telling me it's generation.
It's generation, especially a certain class of privileged white women, which is why I view Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like kind of too steeped in the women's version of the old way of doing things. It's kind of like a women's version of an old-way network. And I don't know, I just want somebody progressive and somebody fresh. I like Edwards a lot, I must admit. But I don't know. Hillary just reminds me of everything I don't like about the baby boomer generation.
Well, Sean, thank you. And by the way, since people keep writing in and calling to try to clarify or ask for clarification about Obama's Muslim ties, here's how the Washington Post wrote it up in a paragraph. Since declaring his candidacy for president in February, Obama, a member of the Congregation of the United Church of Christ in Chicago, has had to address assertions that he is a Muslim or that he had received training in Islam in Indonesia, where he lived from ages 6 to 10. And it concludes, while his father was an atheist and his mother did not practice religion, Obama's stepfather did occasionally attend services at a mosque there. So it wasn't even that his father was a Muslim, it's that his stepfather occasionally attended services at a mosque in Indonesia when Obama was living there from age 6 to 10 and his father from Kenya was an atheist, says the Washington Post. So if that clears it up, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Anne in Westchester, you get our last word. You have 30 seconds.
Hi, Brian. I'm actually visiting from Paris. It's great to hear you live in New York.
Great.
I consider myself a pretty astute political analyst, but I'm realizing as I was waiting on the phone that almost all my African-American female friends who attended Wellesley are supporting Hillary Clinton, and all the other friends who didn't attend Wellesley are supporting Obama. And ironically, I was wondering, given that you had a guest from Spelman, what women who are attending a historically black women's college would be thinking about the election.
And for you, in just 15 more seconds, from over there in Paris, I guess you're listening to us on the web. Our signal does not quite cross the Atlantic yet.
Yes, I listened to you on the internet, but I happen to be in New York.
Oh, I see. Okay, Anne, we're going to leave it there. And we thank all of you for your calls. Obviously, a reflection of many conversations that are going on in quite undecided corners of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut still as the February 5th primary approaches. Coming up in a minute, more Follow-Up Friday with everybody wondering if we're in recession yet. We will ask, what is a recession anyway? And our guest will say, in some ways, it's good.